You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode number 68.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Awesome to have you back on another masterclass here. I think you're going to like this one. Before we jump into it here, I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about today's guest, Scott Jelinek. You'll hear in the interview somebody who I'm fortunate to have met a couple of months ago, and we kind of struck up a friendship, doing big things. He's been involved in real estate for about 20 years now. So, you know, he's done a lot of different things in his business. Wholesaling, it has always been, you know, similar to me. It's always been at the foundation of his business model. And what we want to do is, you know, on this particular show, we're really going to get into the marketing that he recommends. You know, so we talk about guerrilla marketing strategies and tactics. We talk about why he actually doesn't recommend direct mail right off the bat if you're just getting started. And we do talk about direct mail, and we talk about some of the different things that you definitely want to do to scale and automate that process. And we talk about, you know, different marketing strategies that cost you less than $100, but none of your time, and can still bring in several deals into your pipeline on a yearly basis. Just things that people might not even think about doing, because they either might not be sexy or it's just not taught anymore, but things that just have been time and tested and still work in today's market. What's cool about this show is Scott is somebody who's doing 3 to 5 deals a month, and he doesn't have a big team. You know, he's really, I'm going to be talking more in upcoming episodes how the theme for my year, 2017, is simplification, is really how not to take the simple and make it complicated. I think a lot of us fall into that rabbit hole, and Scott is living that. You know, he takes 12 weeks out of the year and travel. You'll hear about that. And it's because his business has provided him that type of lifestyle where he can do that. And again, it's just him and two other people on his team. He's consistently doing 3 to 5 deals a month. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. But before we jump into the heart of today's masterclass, I want to let you know that I just launched a private Facebook group. I'd love for you to join it. It's by invite only, so it's a closed group. So if you just go to flipempire.com/Facebook, that'll take you directly there. Now, I know there's a lot of different Facebook groups out there, and the vision I have is to really create a community of like-minded, successful real estate investors / wholesalers that have the mentality of giving and not always taking. So there's not going to be promotion in here where you see in other groups where people are always plugging their deals. It's going to be more of a community of interaction. I'm going to be jumping in there, answering questions. I'm going to be sharing with you guys different things that we're testing in our business, whether it's split testing marketing campaigns or whether it's new approaches that we're doing in our business. I'm going to be revealing what's working, what's not working. So I know it's going to be a place where you can go to, get great strategy, technique, and content that's going to help you in your wholesaling business. So again, I'd love to have you be a member. If you want to learn more strategies and tactics that are going to help you in your wholesaling business, but also if you have, you know, the mentality to give and participate, because I really want to create a community of, again, like-minded people that are there to help each other out, and at the same time receive a lot of value in the process. So that's my biggest goal, is I want to give as much as possible. I'll be, you know, participating on a daily basis in there. I'll be letting you know about different things coming up. It's not going to be a forum where it's just promotion or anything like that. It's, matter of fact, it's going to be the complete opposite. So if you're interested in something like that, I'd love to have you check it out. Go to flipempire.com/Facebook, and that'll take you directly to the closed Flip Empire community there. And I look forward to connect with you on there. So without further ado, let's jump into today's masterclass with Scott Jelinek. Hey, my friends, it's great to have you back with another Flip Empire masterclass. And I have a good friend of mine, Scott Jelinek, who's going to be joining us today. So I'm excited to get into the content for this particular episode. Just to give you guys just heard the intro, but just to give you a little bit of background, Scott is somebody who
I haven't known for a very long period of time. We actually just met back in November. We both attended a mastermind workshop with Joe McCall and Sean McCloskey, and we spent 3 days together. We actually just kind of coincidence. We happened to be sitting next to each other. It was a pretty small, intimate group, and we kind of hit it off right from the get-go. And we just shared a lot of information over the course of the 3 days, and we talked. And Scott's actually in the process of launching his podcast, which I'm excited to be featured on as well. So we'll definitely include some notes about his podcast in the show notes page. But yeah, I mean, Scott's a great guy. Again, like you heard in the intro, he's been in this business for 20 years or so. And so he's seen all the ups and downs of all the different real estate markets and cycles that that you can imagine. And he's really a ninja and an expert when it comes to marketing, marketing for deals, marketing for sellers, for cash buyers. And that's really going to be the focus of today's masterclass. You know, I'm constantly connecting with students and just people in the community reaching out to me. And the one challenge I seem to hear over and over is lead generation. You know, how can we generate more leads? How can we add new marketing channels? What's working? What's not? So that's really what we hope to reveal today is give you some actionable content. And the biggest thing, like you've heard me talk about before, is, you know, speed of implementation. I want you to just take one strategy, one technique, something that resonates with you that Scott shares, and implement it in your business ASAP so that you can start to see results. So having said that, man, Scott, it's awesome to reconnect with you, man. And I'm glad we finally got you on the show here.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be here.
Fantastic, buddy. So, hey, man, why don't we do this again? I know I kind of talked about this a bit in the intro, but for the people that might be listening in that don't know who you are, I know you've been in this business for a long time. If you can kind of give us a summary of what your business looks like today. I know you're also coaching and speaking, but you're active in this business. So maybe if you can kind of paint a picture of where you are in your business today.
So do you want me to go back in time to getting started, or just where we are right now?
No, yeah, just where we can just kind of fast forward, jump into it, where you are right now.
Okay, so what I do right now is primarily wholesaling. I used to be heavy into rehabbing, and then when my son was born, I decided I liked to travel, and I started taking him. He's 7 now. Started traveling a lot. I travel about 12 weeks a year now. And so I completely got out of rehabbing and strictly wholesaling. Although now that I can only travel with the school schedule again, we're thinking about doing some rehabs when school's in session, because I can't travel during that time anyway. But I average maybe 3 to 5 deals a month, which I know is not the biggest numbers you've ever heard. But I don't do a lot of guys I hear teaching are talking about, oh, they wholesale 2,000, market up 3,000. My average is $19,000. We do some, obviously, 40, 50, 60s. And our lowest that we ever wholesale for is 10. And so I'm not one of these guys that's trying to build a huge business. I'm trying to build a huge life. And I hear conflicting opinions from different people on some people want to build a huge automated business and all these employees and stuff getting done for you. And I went through that phase years ago in my life. And now I'm kind of the opposite, where I want everything small, free and clear, just do a few deals and the cash is actually mine instead of feeding a machine. But that's just my opinion. I know everybody goes in two different directions.
Brother, man, I'm right with you, man. You and I are cut from the same cloth. I'm the same, man. I think, you know, the beauty of this business is that it can provide that kind of lifestyle where you can travel 12 months out of the year, be with your family, and you don't need to build, you know, you have to get very clear, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I think this is relevant to what you just talked about, Scott. This event that I just alluded to, Sean McCloskey was one of the guys there. And if you guys are aware of Sean and his life inner message, it's about having a vision for what you want your life and your lifestyle to look like, and then building a business that supports that. And I think, Scott, that's exactly what you're talking about, is, you know, you're clear in the fact that 3 to 5 deals is all you need to provide, you know, the kind of freedom and the lifestyle that you want. And I'm with you. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. It's just about knowing what it is that you want out of your life and then creating that business to support that, right?
Correct. There was a time where my overhead just to maintain my office was close to $30,000 a month. And what that meant was I had to do 3 deals a month just to be at zero. And occasionally, and you know you've been in this business a while, occasionally you have a month where you don't get any deals. Yeah. Well, that means next month I had to do 6 deals just to be at zero. And it got to the point where we were doing so many deals, but I was always just chasing. I was always chasing, and I wasn't getting to enjoy the rewards. And now, since I've focused and gotten back to what I actually want, month, it's so much different. I can do one deal and make money. Yeah. And when I do three deals, it's a fantastic month. And if I have a no deal month, it doesn't affect anything.
Got it. So what, in your opinion, man, what do people need to have in place in order to be able to do 3 to 5 deals a month and be able to travel? Or I find that, you know, you ask people what they want and they always kind of refer to the money. And what I found throughout the years, I'm sure you'll agree, it's not so much the money, it's what the money can do for them, the freedom, the lifestyle, absolutely, like we've just talked about. What kind of team or what kind of infrastructure do you have to have in place to consistently do 3 to 5 deals a month?
Well, and that's the thing. There was a time when I had a buyer, I had a seller, I had a coordinator, I had a receptionist, and now it's basically me and one girl. And I do, and I know, you know, I've listened to a lot of other people and their plans and what they do to scale and to grow, and my plan is completely different. I have my wife answers my buy call line, and she sets my appointments. I go on the appointments, and then when I get deals, I sell them. And so I have a very small business now, but it's more profitable than when I had a big business. So in the end, it comes down to, you know, I see all these people that are like, I'm the biggest in my area, I do more deals than anyone. And my question is always, well, are you the most profitable?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that everybody's searching for something different, and they're trying to be big and trying to do more deals and be bigger than the next guy. And I'm like, well, you guys can have that. I'm just trying to make a great living and enjoy my life, which is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, man. There's a big difference between gross and net, you know, between the revenue that your business generates and what your margin is, what the actual net profit that you see is. So, man, that's awesome. So it's you and your wife, and you said you have another person, or is it just—
And I have one girl in the office who she mostly handles. I have 74 rentals as well, so she handles the collections and going to court when needed and doing all that sort of stuff.
Got it. So, you know, that's kind of the theme. One of the things I do, Scott, at the end of the year, man, is I try to come up with a word for the year. And this year, my word is simplification, you know, because right now I have a team of 7 people, and it's great because I don't necessarily have to, you know, be on the phone or go on appointments, but I wear different hats now. Sometimes I'm too involved in the management side of things. And I think, again, there's not a right and a wrong. It's just knowing what works for you and what it is you want. Do you ever find yourself, you know, getting overwhelmed or not wanting to do something? Like, what would you advise to somebody that says, that's exactly what I want? I want to be able to do 3, 4, 5 deals a month. I don't want necessarily a big team. I don't want a lot of overhead. What's kind of the steps 1, 2, and 3 to make that happen?
Well, you know this, but the answer is simple, and it's just do it. There's so many simple steps. You know, my marketing thing has always been, I don't have one way to get 50 deals a month. I'm sorry, 50 deals a year. I have 50 ways to get one deal a year.
Yeah.
And I always believe in that. If you do all the different things, you make a full business. And there is one way, obviously direct mail. You can throw money at it and just get a bunch of deals. But new investors, if you say spend $5,000 on direct mail and they don't get a deal their first month, they're not doing it a second month.
Yeah.
And so I never push direct mail until they start doing deals. That's just my personal opinion. But if you do all these little things that we do, then you get a consistent business. Now, some of those things are only going to generate you 2 deals a year. And so a lot of people are like, well, 2 deals a year, why am I going to waste my time doing that? But if you do all of them, well, now you got 2 deals a month, 3 deals a month coming in from these add-on things. And so that's kind of the key, is you got to stick with it, track it, and do all these little different things that generate you just a couple deals a year.
Okay, so let's actually start here. For somebody listening in that maybe they've done some deals, but they just haven't really gained any traction. They haven't gotten to that point where consistently they're banging out wholesale deals. What are some of the marketing channels you'd recommend they get started with? And I know you just talked about you don't really recommend direct mail right out of the gate.
Well, I do, just not large scale. So I'll get into them, although you're going to hear, as I say this, there's no magic. There's no secrets here. In real estate, there are no secrets. I always tell people the only secret is there are no secrets.
Yeah,
so obviously, the most simple thing I start people on, is, and it's the cheapest, is bandit signs. Now, I know a lot of people hate bandit signs, and I agree with you. I hated them for years. I still don't like them. However, the short, simple answer is they work. And so, you know, when I have somebody new, they don't have a whole lot of money, I'm like, well, you've got to do the legwork. You put out the bandit signs and you will generate leads. And if you generate leads and go on appointments, you're going to generate deals. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
There is no magic bullet. So the first thing I tell people to start with is bandit signs. And Alex, I don't even know, are you aware of that app that tracks your bandit signs?
Am I aware of what now?
There's an app, and I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you people about it in case they don't know. So I've always hated bandit signs, and I will not get out of my car in the middle of the night and put them out, but that's just me. And if you pay people to put them out, generally they are going to just take your signs, put out a couple, throw the rest away, and tell you they put out 100 and get paid for 100. Well, there's an app out. It's called Simple Crew.
Yep.
And
I've heard of them.
You know Simple Crew?
Yeah, I've never used them, but I've heard of them. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So what Simple Crew does is you have to set it up on your computer, and then you download the app, and now you can hire people, marketers, to put out the signs for you. And every sign they put out, they have to take a picture of it, and it geolocates them and time and date stamps it. And so now in the morning when they say they put out 100 signs, you can look right on your app, and you can not only see that they put out 100, but exactly where everyone is. And it'll show you a map with a pin for every sign they put out, as well as a photograph of every sign they put out. And so they can't cheat you. And so because of that, I love Bandit signs now, because you don't actually have to do them anymore.
Yeah.
You can actually hire a stranger to do them and trust that they've actually done it.
That's awesome, man. So let's kind of, you know, when you're talking about Bandit signs, I'm assuming you use them both for sellers and for buyers, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what's a typical, I mean, have you found that what a lot of people do, which is like the we buy houses, you know, cash for your house and a phone number, that approach works best? Or do you tend to like to get a little creative and outside the box with the bandit signs? Like, what kind of copy or message have you
found? So, again, you're going to laugh at my, the only secret is there are no secrets. I've tried everything, and I've quantified and kept data on everything. And what works best, believe it or not, is simple we buy houses and a phone number. Huge we buy houses and a phone number, black lettering on yellow, has always outperformed everything else we've ever tried. And I still to this day see so many people trying so many creative techniques. And, you know, and I applaud everybody for trying, because you never know what might work. But the reality is we buy houses works. And on top of it just being the most bold and easy to see, you got to remember we're in the business, but consumers don't know that we're so fragmented. Like, a lot of times they think it's the We Buy Houses company. That's it. There's just one of us. And, you know, they'll be like, I've been seeing your signs everywhere for years, when really I just started last week. And, you know, they don't know that we're all different.
That's right.
And so it's, I like to keep the message consistent, and it's just We Buy Houses and a phone number.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you know, it's something I'll add to bandit signs, because it drives me crazy when I'm driving and I see bandit signs and the phone number is like an inch wide and an inch, like, it just, you can't read it, right? So it's common sense. Just make sure the phone number is big on there. Do you recommend, in terms of the number, like, to avoid, you know, issues with compliance, or, you know, the bandit sign police, whatever you want to call it? I know that there's different schools of thought. Some people recommend putting them out there Friday afternoon, taking them down Sunday night. Or do you just say, screw it, I'm putting them out there, and if it brings me deals, which it should, it's worth whatever issues you might have with a sign police. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I've been in this business 24 years, and I've never actually had a confrontation with the sign police. I've gotten many phone calls from them, and I've gotten a lot of threats from, you know, the actual police, from the code enforcement, as well as business license department calling. And I've never responded and never, you know, gave it any weight. I've never run out and picked them up, and I've never had a ticket or a fine. However, that said, doesn't mean it can't happen. So I advise people always do it Friday after 5, pick them up Sunday night. It's a little more work, a little more labor, but it just keeps them out of everyone else's eyes. So I think it's probably in your best interest if you want to be doing it regularly.
Perfect, perfect. So aside from bandit signs, which is pretty straightforward, especially with, I'm glad you mentioned that resource Simple Crew, because that just automates the entire process. What other marketing channels do you recommend for, you know, somebody getting started, or even an intermediate and advanced investor?
So there's simple things, and basically I'm going to go through them right now. So one of them is billboard cards. And what billboard cards are, and I just made up the word, so there is no actual billboard cards if you Google it, but it's basically just a business card, but with your same message that's on your bandit sign, what you would see on a billboard. It's just We Buy Houses, maybe your logo and a phone number. And what I use these for is, I use them throughout my day. Whenever I'm at a gas station, I stick them on the pump. When I'm at Walmart, I stick them on the bulletin board. In Starbucks, I stick it on the bulletin board. If I'm in a restaurant, I stick it on the salt shakers. I stick them everywhere. And one of the old things I'm always saying is, you just never know where your next big deal is coming from. And it literally could just be the waitress who's serving you. It's like, oh, wait, you buy houses? I just inherited. And you never know what the situation is going to be. So it's important to always have it out there. The reason I don't use business cards for these is, basically, you know what a business card is, and a business card, look, it has all your information, so it doesn't convey the same message, even though it has We Buy Houses on it. It's a lot more intimidating because it's a person now. Plus, in the same thing, I'm going to tell you a little tip that I learned the hard way, is with your bandit signs, with your billboard cards, gorilla cards, anything you're doing offline, I never put a web address on it. And a lot of people will argue with me on that. They spent all this time and money and energy on their website. And I love the website, mind you, and I believe in the internet. However, I never want to take a prospect who's offline and bring them to the internet. Because the second you do that, it's a wild west. When you type in your company name, all your competitors come up. And you type in my company name, all my competitors come up. And just about nobody actually puts in the www dot. They just put it right in the Google bar and type in whatever the address is, and all your competitors come up. And then from the prospect's mind, we're all the same. They don't know one of us from the other. And I've had people call me and tell me they're calling off of my ex marketing, and I know it's not me, and I just roll with it. You know, oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so tell me more about it. And I end up getting a lead, getting a deal, and it's from someone else's marketing because they directed them to the Wild West, and I ended up getting the deal.
That's interesting. So it's the thought process of just giving, you know, just giving your prospect one action to take, not giving them a bunch of different options.
Correct. Now, my business cards are different, and they have everything on it, but my business cards I only use person to person. So if I meet somebody and I'm talking with them, I give them a business card, but I don't leave business cards around.
Yeah.
I'll leave billboard cards around.
Okay. And how big are these billboard cards?
Exactly the same as a business card.
Okay.
Except different message. And on the business card, you have everything. You know, your logo, your name, We Buy Houses, your email address, your fax number, your phone number, your website, everything you possibly have. Billboard card is strictly We Buy Houses, maybe your logo if you have a nice logo, and a phone number, really big. And that's it. And I put them everywhere. I try and average 25 of them a day. So when I leave my house in the morning, I just automatically put those in my pocket and I try and come home with an empty pocket.
Yeah.
As well as these next couple things, which we'll go over. And the next one is guerrilla cards. Do you use those?
I don't. So when you say guerrilla cards, if you can kind of elaborate a little bit on that.
So guerrilla cards are those cards that, you know, they're basically, they look like a $50 bill or a $100 bill.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, you know, it's man, you just took me back. When I got started in this business in 2005, that was one of the first marketing pieces I ever bought. I think I paid like $100 for like 1,000, and it looked like a $100 bill that was like folded up. I used to drop them on the ground everywhere.
Yeah, so I love them for a couple reasons. So I get them from GorillaCards.com, and they look real. They look just like a $20 bill, a $100 bill. You pick whatever denomination you want. And inside is the same message as your billboard. It's just We Buy Houses and a phone number, maybe your logo. And I try and drop 25 of them a day. But the benefit with these is you can drop them anywhere. When you're walking the aisle at Home Depot, Lowe's, right on the street in a parking lot, it doesn't matter because they get picked up. Nobody jumps over money when they see it. So the great part about these is they go viral, much like a video, where somebody picks it up and one of a couple things can happen. They either have a use for you, which is the rare exception, or they laugh at it and they take it so they can play a joke on someone else, or they are pissed off by it and they just throw it back on the floor. Either way, it stays circulating. Nobody picks it up and takes it and puts it in the trash can. And so you can put them out. I know this works because I've gotten calls from malls that I've never been to. And they'll tell me, I got your $100 bill in X Mall. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've never been there. And I don't know how it got there other than someone else picked it up and was playing a joke on someone else.
Scott, man, you seem to be getting a lot of leads and calls from like marketing that either isn't yours or is ending up in like a completely different place.
Yeah, it's just being out there. You got to constantly keep it out there. My very first call, my very first house I ever bought off a Gorilla Card was a city worker who found it in a ditch while he was weed whacking the side of the road. And it was hilarious when he told me the story. He thought it was real, and back then it was $5 bills, and he kept it in his car to dry out. And then he said it was 2-3 weeks later, he was in a huge fight with his wife. They were getting divorced, and he came out to his car, and he picked it up, and he saw it was We Buy Houses. He called me like they all do, because it's always the right time, right place. And he says, I thought this was real, and now it's fate. We literally just decided we're selling the house. When can you come over? And when he was telling me the story, I'm like, what are the odds? How did it get in that ditch on the side of the road for this guy to find it and then open it the day he decided to sell his house?
That's so interesting. You know, you just never know where leads and deals are going to come from. And I think the idea here is to just have different lines in the water because you don't know what bait is going to attract the motivated seller. Having said that, let me play devil's advocate and then throw something in here just to kind of get your thoughts on this. I'm curious. Where would you say is the line or the balance between having all these different marketing channels and then somebody that might be getting overwhelmed trying to get all these channels, but they're kind of being a jack of all trades, master of none. They don't have systems in place for some of these channels. Like, how many channels do you recommend somebody have if they're at the point where, yeah, they've closed some deals, but now they just want to kind of, you know, scale and take things to another level? Like where you're at, where you're consistently doing 3-5 deals a month.
Okay, well, that is a great question because I guess I didn't say that. So for billboard cards, guerrilla cards, and business cards, I have no agenda with them. They are just throughout my regular day. Like I would never go somewhere to put them out. It's just wherever I am anyway, I always have them in my pocket. I drop them on the floor or stick them on a bulletin board. Okay. So they take zero time. I would never go to gas stations and stick them on pumps. But when I'm at a pump anyway, filling my gas, that's when I stick them on. I never would drive to a Starbucks to put them on the bulletin board, but if I'm already there getting a coffee, I'll stick it on the bulletin board. So it takes zero time and very, very little effort as long as you just make it part of your habit and your routine. So I think regardless of what stage you're in, those little type of things you should always be doing because they're zero effort. They cost almost nothing. And you get probably about two deals. If you do them every day, you'll get about two deals a year from each one of those. And so I know that doesn't sound like a lot. Two deals doesn't sound worth it, but you're talking each one could be minimum of 10 grand. So you're talking 20 grand from that, 20 grand from that, 20 grand from that for something that cost you $100.
It's 100% worth it. No question about it.
And the other thing I do, do you do pre-foreclosures?
You know, that's actually how I got started. So, you know, anybody that's heard my story, the first deal I did was a pre-foreclosure. And here in our market, it's not something we're currently marketing to. We're focused more on high equity list, and we add a lot of filters to our direct mail list to like really niche down. We hit probates, inheritance, tax delinquents. But yeah, right now we're not currently marketing at pre-foreclosures.
So, and this is something I don't do much of anymore, but I train on it for my coaching clients because it's an easy way to get a couple deals. So with pre-foreclosures, and I don't know how it is in Florida, but in my area, they're all listed in the paper every single day, every foreclosure is listed. And so when, back in 2006, I did 65 houses I bought one year just from this one technique. And, it, you know, foreclosures were obviously – every deal was a good deal back then.
Yeah.
So what we do is we actually – you know, we screen out the good ones and go and actually knock on their door. And what happens – a lot of people teach to do that. But the trick is what most people do is they go there, they knock on the door. Nobody's home. Most of the time these people are at work, so nobody's home. So they leave a card or a letter or a door hanger or something on the door. Now, if it's a good deal, by the end of the day, five other investors have been there, and typically the last investor, you know, of the day is going to take everyone else's cards away.
Yeah.
Unscrupulous, unethical, absolutely, but that's just the facts. That's what's going to happen. The last guy is going to see this four other We Buy House guys there, and he's going to take all their stuff and just leave his card. So we had to come up with a way around that, and so what we came up with, which has been working fantastically, And I generally don't even tell everybody about this because everyone will be doing it. But this is such a large industry; you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, bring it.
Is we use FedEx, we use FedEx or UPS or Postal Service. And mind you, I'm not saying to spend the money. So we just get the envelopes and then we put our message in it. We put our letter, our cards, everything in the FedEx. We write the address on the outside and just lean it up against the front door when we're there.
Awesome.
Nobody messes with it because obviously they think it's been delivered by FedEx. And the homeowner, the second they get home, they open it because they believe it got delivered by FedEx. And it's priceless. It works better than anything else for pre-foreclosures.
That's awesome, man. I like that a lot. So let me ask you this because I know direct mail is one of those that we're going to get into here. Of the 3 to 5 deals a month that you're consistently doing, Scott, do you know exactly what the breakdown is in terms of where those deals, like which marketing channels are producing those deals on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I do. I don't have it in front of me. However, I will tell you the primary, and this goes back to direct mail, the primary amount of deals comes from direct mail.
Mm-hmm.
However, the reason I don't like people to start there is because over my years, I've seen so many people get into the business and out of the business because they know direct mail works. We all know it works. And I'm a big fan of direct mail. However, it's expensive. And so if you take what money you have and throw it at direct mail and don't get a deal right away,
yeah,
you're out of business.
Yeah.
And there is no month two or month three to recoup because you've spent all your money and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I usually try and tell people is to use bandit signs until you get your first deal or two and then reinvest that money into direct mail.
Yeah.
Because obviously we all know direct mail works the best. It's the highest cost, least effort. And so direct mail is always going to be the best. But for new people, you know, it's not cheap. I don't know how much you spend a month, but I spend a good amount of money a month on direct mail. I spend $5,000. One time I was spending $15,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now I spend $5,000 a month. However, if I was brand new and I spent $5,000 and didn't get any deals the next month and maybe tried another month and got a bunch of leads but didn't get a deal, I'm not going to keep going.
Yeah. You know, and I'm so glad that you said that because I completely agree with you. I mean, whenever I work with a new coaching client, one of the first things we kind of talk about is what resources do you have? Do you have more time? Do you have more money? And people, like you just said, everybody knows direct mail works. So that's typically what people want to do. But I always tell people, you know, if you want to do direct mail, don't do it unless you can commit to at least, at the very minimum, 4 to 5 touches every 30 or 60 days. That's my opinion. That's what has worked for me throughout the years. So, you know, sometimes I see people, they'll go out and they'll buy a big list off of ListSource or Listability or wherever, and they'll send one campaign. They might spend $1,000 or $2,000, and they've kind of just blown their marketing budget there, but then they're not even able to follow up, and then it puts them in a hole. So I'm glad you mentioned that because – I agree. I think personally, if you can't commit to at least 4 or 5 touches, then focus on another channel, do some deals, and then roll those profits into direct mail.
You know, it's funny, Alex, and you do coaching, and I'm doing coaching as well. And one of the things I've found is that I almost twisted everything I do to what makes people quit, and then how do I prevent that from ever starting? Because that's the only way you really fail at this business is by quitting. And so I try and realize what are the things that generally cause people to quit, and then let me prevent that before it ever gets near it. And that's why direct mail, although it's on my list, I don't make it a focus until they've closed deals. Yep. Because it's, you know, it's expensive, and that's what makes people quit. They're like, I already spent 10 grand or 5 grand on marketing and I didn't get a deal. This business doesn't work. And meanwhile, if they had done one more round, they may have gotten another 60 grand in profit. But, you know, you have to get there in order to get there, and people quit before they get there. And so I try and start them slow.
Yeah, that's spot on, man. So now let's kind of jump into direct mail here, and maybe we can spend the next 5-10 minutes on that before we, before we hop off here. Give us some actionable advice and just what would you say when it comes to direct mail? I mean, I know I just talked about consistency. What have you found, particularly in this market here? We just got into 2017. What have you found with direct mail, is working? Like, one of the things, I'll just kind of share this with you, Scott. One of the things that we're split testing now is a branded postcard versus an ugly postcard, whether it's a handwritten postcard or just, you know, a very just kind of mom and pop. It looks like somebody just, you know, sent it out of their house. So we're actually split testing what works better, something nice and branded versus, you know, we're always just kind of split testing A/B, what's working now. What have you found? We all know direct mail works, but there's obviously different ways you could approach it. What have you found for you is working?
So that's an interesting question. And so I have 74 rental properties now, and so I'm on everybody's list. Basically, every single day I get 2 or 3 or 4 postcards from other investors, and I save them all. So I have stacks of them.
Yeah, swipe file.
And it's interesting that 90% of them are all the same, and they're the small yellow, you know, black type, ugly. They're, you know what they look like. So they're 90% of them are all the same. And then there's a few that come out that are nice, big, fancy, different letters, different all kinds of craziness. And so in your head, or in my head anyway, I try and think, well, 90% of them are the same. I don't want to look like everyone else. But there's a flip side to that, which is like the We Buy Houses, the yellow and black signs. The flip side is, well, maybe they're all the same because that's what works. And so I've tried other things, and in the end, I do the ugly simple, you know, yellow flimsy postcards with black type on it. And what I've come to as a conclusion is that, you know, everybody stresses over what your copy is going to say, you know, what's your message, how you're going to word it to, you know, induce someone to call you. And what I found, the reality is, there's no message that's going to make a non-motivated seller motivated. There's nothing that you can say that's going to make somebody who's having an enjoyable life decide they want to sell their house at half price. And every day we send them cards, we're invisible to them. Like, they open them, they get them in the mail, and they toss them in the trash until the one day they need us. And that day, it's a crapshoot, whether it's you or me or another one of our competitors who's in their mailbox that day. But that day, in their head, and I don't know if you've gone through this or not with people, but in their head that day, that's the first postcard they ever got. Yeah. And I could have been sending it to them for years, but they don't see us. Just like the bandit signs, they don't see them until they have a house to sell. And then they're like, oh, it was fate. I just happened to see your sign. I'm like, my sign's been there every day for 10 years. But they don't see us until they need us. And so I've come to the conclusion that the message almost doesn't matter. It's just the consistency and having to fall in front of them on the day when they decided they need to sell their house.
And then that's, I think that goes, you know, that speaks right to what I was saying before about the consistency. It's just about staying in front of your prospects as much and as often as possible. Because like you said, man, you just never know when somebody's going to pick up the phone and call and when they're going to need you. So yeah, man, I completely agree with you.
I hear so often that it was fate. I mean, and I'm like, yeah, it's fate. I made this fate because I'm constantly putting my stuff out there. But they always, the day they need me is when that's the only time they see me. They could have had thrown away 20 of my letters and they never even noticed one of them until the day they need me. And then it was fake that I sent them a card the actual day they were looking to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it comes to direct mail, anything else you would say? Like, one of the things whenever I talk to coaching clients, I'm like, number one, you know, you want to use a unique. Personally, I have found better results with a local number because you always want to measure and track, you know, where your leads are coming from, which marketing channels. I'm pretty big, I'm sure as you are, on the KPIs, right? The key performance indicators, you know, what's your cost per lead? What's your average profit per transaction? Cost per appointment, all those kinds of things. So I think it's very important to track that. Any other suggestions or advice that you would say, you know, direct mail is fantastic because you can scale it up, right? You can spend more money and you know, at some point you're going to hit a tipping point where it might not produce more deals. But anything else you would say, look, based on all my years of experience with direct mail, this is what you absolutely need to do. And also, this is what you shouldn't be doing.
Well, this is just one simple thing, and it's not this is, you know, there's no secrets in this business. It's just consistency. If you do direct mail once, or you do it once every quarter and you don't consistently do it, it's not going to produce consistent leads. And that's what I was saying before about spending $5,000 and not getting a deal the next month. You may still get a deal 4 months later from that initial money you spent, but you're not going to know until 4 months later. And a lot of times I've gotten deals from people that said, I got your postcard a year ago, it's been in my file. And so it's hard to quantify exactly which mailing you got that deal from. But if you do it consistently, you just end up with a consistent flow of leads.
It happens all the time. I've talked about this on previous episodes, Scott, but I don't know about you, but probably 70 to 80% of the deals that we close from direct mail come from the follow-up. So it's like you said, it's not uncommon to send out a campaign and then a deal to come to fruition from that campaign 6 months, 12 months later.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, it's been awesome to connect with you here. I really appreciate your time, man. I know that you and I are going to continue to stay in contact. I'm glad we had an opportunity to meet at that mastermind workshop. Where can people reach out to you and connect with you and just kind of see what's going on in your world?
Well, obviously, I'm on Facebook, Scott Jelinek, but I have a website, masterinvestoracademy.com. which, you know, just has a, you can get a free copy of my book, The Real Estate Investor's Guide to Guerrilla Marketing, on there.
Okay. Awesome.
So that's probably a good place to go.
Fantastic, man. Well, guys, listen, hopefully you take at least one thing here that Scott shared and put it to work. You know, like all the different things he talked about with the guerrilla cards, the billboard cards, those are things that you just pay for them once, might cost you $100, and you don't even think about it. You just, you know, throughout the course of your day, you're putting them out there. If you're just getting started, go the route of bandit signs until you can start doing some deals and then take those profits and then you can start rolling it into direct mail. And then again, just to kind of recap, when it comes to direct mail, I think the key takeaway here is just be consistent and just stay in front of your prospects and your sellers, because you never know when somebody motivated is going to pick up the phone and call you, and that's when you want to be there for them. So having said that, I look forward, make sure you tune in to this Thursday's Q&A episode. And then next week, we have another great masterclass coming. So I'll catch you soon. Take care, Scott.
Thanks, Alex.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.